Hello, hello, hello. Here's another episode from Marlenka reading Sri Aurobindo, Synthesis of Yoga. The Four Aids. Now, yoga siddhi, the perfection that comes from the practice of yoga, can be best attained by the combined working of four great instruments. There is first the knowledge of the truths, principles, powers, and processes that govern the realization, shastra. Next comes a patient and persistent action on the lines laid down by this knowledge, the force of our personal effort, utsaha. There intervenes third, uplifting our knowledge and effort into the domain of spiritual experience, the direct suggestion, example, and influence of the teacher, guru. And last comes the instrumentality of time, kala. For in all things there is a cycle of their action and a period of the divine movement. And the supreme shastra of the integral yoga is the eternal Veda secret in the heart of every thinking and living being. The lotus of the eternal knowledge and the eternal perfection is a bud closed and folded up within us. It opens swiftly or gradually, petal by petal, through successive realizations, once the mind of man begins to turn towards the eternal, once his heart, no longer compressed and confined by attachment to finite appearances, becomes enamored, in whatever degree, of the infinite. All life, all thought, all energizing of the faculties, all experiences, passive or active, become thenceforward, so many shocks which disintegrate the teguments of the soul and remove the obstacles to the inevitable efflorescence. He who chooses the infinite has been chosen by the infinite. He has received the divine touch without which there is no awakening, no opening of the spirit. But once it is received, attainment is sure, whether conquered swiftly in the course of one human life or pursued patiently through many stadia of the cycle of existence in the manifested universe. Now, nothing can be taught to the mind which is not already concealed as potential knowledge in the unfolding soul of the creature. So also all perfection of which the outer man is capable is only a realizing of the eternal perfection of the spirit within him. We know the divine and become the divine because we are that already in our secret nature. All teaching is a revealing. All becoming is an unfolding. Self-attainment is the secret. Self-knowledge and an increasing consciousness are the means and the process. And the usual agency of this revealing is the word, the thing heard, shruta. The word may come to us from within, it may come to us from without, but in either case, it is only an agency for setting the hidden knowledge to work. The word within may be the utterance of the inmost soul in us, which is always open to the divine. Or it may be the word of the secret and universal teacher who is seated in the hearts of all. There are rare cases in which none other is needed, for all the rest of the yoga is an unfolding under that constant touch and guidance. The lotus of the knowledge discloses itself from within by the power of irradiating effulgence, which proceeds from the dweller in the lotus of the heart. Great indeed, but few are those to whom self-knowledge from within is thus sufficient, and who do not need to pass under the dominant influence of a written book or a living teacher. Now, ordinarily, the word from without, representative of the divine, is needed as an aid in the work of self-unfolding. It may be either a word from the past or the more powerful word of the living guru. In some cases, this representative word is only taken as a sort of excuse for the inner power to awaken and manifest. It is, as it were, a concession of the omnipotent and omniscient divine to the generality of a law that governs nature. Thus, it is said in the Upanishads of Krishna, son of Devaki, that he received a word from the Rishi Gora and had the knowledge. So Ramakrishna, having attained by his own internal effort the central illumination, accepted several teachers in different paths of yoga, but always showed in the manner and swiftness of his realization that this acceptance was a concession to the general rule by which effective knowledge must be received as by a disciple from a guru. But usually the representative influence occupies a much larger place in the life of the sadhaka. If the yoga is guided by a received written shastra, some word from the past which embodies the experience of former yogins, it may be practiced either by personal effort alone or with the aid of a guru. The spiritual knowledge is then gained through meditation on the truths that are taught, and it is made living and conscious by their realization in the personal experience. The yoga proceeds by the results of prescribed methods taught in a scripture or a tradition and reinforced and illumined by the instructions of the master. This is a narrower practice, but safe and effective within its limits, because it follows a well-beaten track to a long familiar goal. For the sadhaka of the integral yoga, it's necessary to remember that no written shastra, however great its authority or however large its spirit, can be more than a partial expression of the eternal knowledge. He will use, but never bind himself even by the greatest scripture. Where the scripture is profound, wide, catholic, it may exercise upon him an influence for the highest good and of incalculable importance. It may be associated in his experience with his awakening to crowning verities and his realization of the highest experiences. His yoga may be governed for a long time by one scripture or by several successively. If it is in the line of the great Hindu tradition, by the Gita, for example, the Upanishads, the Veda. Or it may be a good part of his development to include in its material a richly varied experience of the truths of many scriptures and make the future opulent with all that is best in the past. But in the end, he must take his station, or better still, if he can, always and from the beginning, he must live in his own soul beyond the limitations of the word that he uses. The Gita itself thus declares that the yogin, in his progress, must pass beyond the written truth, Shabda Brahmati Vartate, beyond all that he has heard and all that he has yet to hear, Shrota Vyasya Shrutasya Sa. For he is not the sadhaka of a book or of many books. He is a sadhaka of the infinite. Another kind of shastra is not scripture, but a statement of the science and methods, the effective principles and way of working of the path of yoga, which the sadhaka elects to follow. Each path has its shastra, either written or traditional, passing from mouth to mouth through a long line of teachers. In India, a great authority, a high reverence even, is ordinarily attached to the written or traditional teaching. All the lines of the yoga are supposed to be fixed, and the teacher, who has received the shastra by tradition and realized it in practice, guides the disciple along the immemorial tracks. One often even hears the objection urged against a new practice, a new yogic teaching, the adoption of a new formula: it is not according to the shastra. But neither in fact nor in the actual practice of the yogins is there really any such entire rigidity of an iron door shut against new truth, fresh revelation, widened experience. The written or traditional teaching expresses the knowledge and experiences of many centuries systematized, organized, made attainable to a beginner. Its importance and utility are therefore immense. But a great freedom of variation and development is always practicable. Even so highly scientific a system as Raja Yoga can be practiced on other lines than the organized method of Patanjali. Each of the three paths of the Trimarga breaks into many bypaths, which meet again at the goal. The general knowledge on which the yoga depends is fixed, but the order, the succession, the devices, the forms must be allowed to vary, for the needs and particular impulsions of the individual nature have to be satisfied even while the general truths remain firm and constant. An integral and synthetic yoga needs especially not to be bound by any written or traditional shastra. For while it embraces the knowledge received from the past, it seeks to organize it anew for the present and the future. An absolute liberty of experience and of the restatement of knowledge in new terms and new combinations is the condition of its self-formation. Seeking to embrace all life in itself, it is in the position not of a pilgrim following the high road to his destination, but, to that extent at least, of a pathfinder hewing his way through a virgin forest. For yoga has long diverged from life and the ancient systems which sought to embrace it, such as those of our Vedic forefathers, far away from us, expressed in terms which are no longer accessible, thrown in forms which are no longer applicable. Since then, mankind has moved forward on the current of eternal time, and the same problem has to be approached from a new starting point. By this yoga, we not only seek the infinite, but we call upon the infinite to unfold himself in human life. Therefore, the shastra of our yoga must provide for an infinite liberty in the receptive human soul, a free adaptability in the manner and the type of the individual's acceptance of the universal and transcendent into himself is the right condition for the full spiritual life in man. Vivekananda, pointing out that the unity of all religions must necessarily express itself by an increasing richness of variety in its forms, said once that the perfect state of that essential unity would come when each man had his own religion. When not bound by sect or traditional form, he followed the free self-adaptation of his nature in its relations with the Supreme. So also one may say that the perfection of the integral yoga will come when each man is able to follow his own path of yoga, pursuing the development of his own nature in its upsurging towards that which transcends the nature. For freedom is the final law and the last consummation. We're going to pause here for today, and we hope that this reading has entered you as a beam of light, illuminating your heart and your mind for the highest good of all concerned. Thank you so much for listening. Auroville Radio, Marlenka, see you, rather it's to hear you, listen with you to the next episode next week. Bye for now.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the City of Dome.